Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even in Lent, even in the midst of hunger, even in times of suffering, even in the middle of sickness, even in the thick of pain, even in the midst of chaos, even as death itself seems to encircle you, rejoice. That's the point of Laetare. A day on which to see things through the rose-colored glasses of the resurrection. Stuck in the middle of Lent. A day on which there is almost a hinge between the 3 weeks we've been through and the 2 weeks of Passiontide ahead, where the fasting is intensified, the service more somber, the mood more austere. Laetare is a breath of fresh air. Flowers could return to the altar. The mood brightens from somber to joyful. Laetare exists to say, take a deep breath. Everything will be all right. This too shall pass. The night will soon be ending. Joy comes in the morning. Jesus is coming. Joy is not the same as happiness. Joy comes from the Lord and is durable enough to weather suffering and hardship, persecution and decay. Happiness has no durability. The slightest thing can shatter your happiness. Happiness, however, is what the world expects when it asks you, how are you? Fine, good, happy, acceptable answers. But anything more than two words is more than the asker probably wanted to know. But not in the church. Here, frankly, we're not worried about your happiness. You don't need to maintain the charade. You can check your mask at the door. Here, it's okay to suffer, to grieve, to mourn. Here, you are in the company of those who will weep with you when you weep, who will share your burden of suffering when you suffer, and who will rejoice with you when you rejoice. The body of Christ, the church, is a people well acquainted with suffering, but a people whose joy is nevertheless unmitigated. So why joy? Why rejoice? Because today is Laetare. Every heresy is born in truth. The crowds weren't seeking after something evil. They hadn't replaced the good of Jesus with something altogether wicked. Their heresy was that they were replacing a greater good with a lesser good. The problem with the crowds who want to take Jesus and make him their king, take him by force and make him a bread king, is not that Jesus has not provided for them bread. He obviously has. Bread and fish for thousands upon thousands to eat until they're full. He has given them something from nothing. This meal is miraculous, creation out of nothing. Demonstrating his power over creation, he's caused rumbling bellies to be still and provided 12 huge baskets of leftovers. He is a bread king. He is the Lord who provided manna and quail for his people while they wandered in the wilderness. But all that is a small part of what he came for. What drew the crowds out to the shore of the Sea of Galilee without thought for provision for what they might need while they're there is the fact that they had heard or seen the miracles Jesus was performing. Real people had been healed of real sicknesses, long-term, chronic, painful, life-threatening sicknesses. And they wanted some of that. So when Jesus gave them a free lunch, they knew he was their man. But while he healed, that again is a small part of what he came to do. The problem with the crowd and their desire to take Jesus by force and make him their bread king is that they wanted to settle. They were content with just some healing, with just some bread and fish for their bellies. But you can't get just fractions of Jesus. You can't have some of Jesus. So he withdrew. He loved them enough not to give them what they wanted. He came to do more than give them just more of the same, more of the bread which only staves off death for a day, healing which only delivers from a certain ailment or avoids death temporarily. The problem of the crowds is that they wanted a God who was too small, a God they could contain, they could rationalize and believe in. And yet, can't you see yourself in the crowd? When the happiness falters, what happens? Your thoughts begin to doubt God's love for you. When the bread runs low, when your stomach rumbles, what do? You wonder what good a Lord who calls himself the bread of life really is. When the pain increases, when the suffering intensifies, when the prognosis grows worse, what happens? You start to wonder how a good God could let this happen to you. The problem is that you want a mere bread king. Repent. Jesus wants to give you more than bread. God is bigger than your small desires. The miracles Jesus performed are not the ends. They're the means. St. John calls them signs. These miracles, these signs, point to a bigger reality. He who healed bodies and cured diseases is he who came to be infected with the disease of sin. He who filled bellies with miraculous labor-free bread is he who delivered the bread of life, his flesh, through the sweat of his brow and the blood of his hands. This king is bigger than a bread king. He is the King of Kings, who came to don his crown of thorns and reign from the throne of his cross. He withdrew from the crowds, refusing to be their mere bread king in order to die on the cross, to be their eternal king. He quit providing for their temporary small needs in order to provide for their lasting greatest need. He withdrew from the crowds in order to draw them to himself. He refused to be their small savior from suffering in order to be their big savior from sin and death. So rejoice, beloved. Today is Laetare. In the midst of suffering, you can rejoice because Jesus suffered. In the midst of crosses and trials, you can have joy because Jesus endured the cross. When death lurks, when the grave looms, you can rejoice in hope. Sneering at powerless death, deriding the toothless grave, knowing that your Savior died to defeat death, to shatter the grave's power. There is joy in the midst of unhappiness because of the cross. You are set free from settling for lesser goods, from small goals, from empty ends, because your Lord has obtained for you the greatest good, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. And with these immeasurable, eternal, limitless blessings, you also get the smaller blessings as well. The Lord who fed the thousands with bread and fish, this morning feeds millions with the bread of life, His own flesh. And at His supper, Jesus gives you real life, eternal life, there. Though you don't always see it, though you still can't yet feel it, every pain is healed, every suffering soothed, every cross removed, every trial relieved in Jesus. These problems will not last. They are temporary at best. They are less real than the real life Jesus delivers in His Word and His sacraments. Think about that. The body of Jesus in His Holy Communion is more real than the pains you woke up with this morning in your joints, in your heart, in your heads, in your checkbooks or your budgets. This is more real than that. Your Lord is far bigger than your life's difficulties. Rejoice. He is a big enough Savior to deal with your biggest problems, sin and death. Rejoice. That He has solved these problems is proof that He has solved all of your smaller problems as well, even when your eyes cannot see the solutions. He gives daily bread, everything you need to support your body and life, to you, to all of His children, even because He is a gracious Father to all evil people. He gives daily bread, for every day He gives breath. Rejoice. So sing. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me while I sing of peace. Pain or loss or shame or cross shall not from my Savior move me, since He deigns to love me. Hence, all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, Thou art still my purest pleasure. Jesus, priceless treasure. Rejoice, beloved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.